In verse 17, "And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" And I know that it's not been long since I've taught here or preached here, but that's okay. All right? It's going to be all right. So I want you to see this. This guy made a good entrance, but I don't even want to focus on his entrance as much tonight as I want to talk about the accessibility. Was Jesus accessible to this rich young ruler? He was very accessible. That means that just like this church and your leadership as a teacher, a preacher, a singer, we're going to give people accessibility to Jesus. Is that right? Accessibility, that means we are going to let you come in and hear the Word of God. We're going to let you come in and hear truth. We're going to let you come in and we're going to love you, encourage you. We're going to be there in standing in the Word of God. Is that correct? Boy, it better be correct. We better be correct on that. We got to be accessible. A church that's accessible means you can come here as you are and let God change you into what He wants you to be. Amen. Jesus didn't mind. He doesn't mind if somebody runs to Him, somebody crawls to Him, somebody comes in here and they just can't even hardly stagger to Him. He doesn't care how you approach as long as you can approach. That's the problem in the church today. Sometimes we say that we want to be accessible, but we don't really want to be accessible. And when I say church, I don't exactly mean us. I mean a church in general. But if you say that you're accessible, that means when people do come, you don't look at them on the outward appearance. The Bible says, don't look at the man with goodly apparel and say, "Man, we got a special seat for you. Come right up to the front." Amen. And then another gentleman or another lady walks in and has got apparel that's kind of disgusting. Maybe it smells or looks a certain way. And we say to them, "You can sit, you know, back here." Or we've got, and it says it like this in the Bible, we've got a janitorial closet. Amen. Whew. That'd be a tough place, wouldn't it? We've got a closet. We've got a place that you can sit. It's right outside the sanctuary. What does it say? Hey, open it up to both of them. Let them sit where they want to sit and be accessible either way. Let one sit on the front, one on the back. It reminds me of a story. I had a really addicted friend, a person who was just in the throes of addiction. And one time I kept inviting him. I said, "Will you come to church with me? Come to church with me." He was one of my best friends growing up. And you know what he said one day? "Yes." Kind of blew me away. Because, I mean, he'd said no so many times or ran from me or hide from me or whatever the case may be. At first, when I first got saved, I was afraid to go back to my friends because the influence they had on my life. But after a period of time, I think the table flipped. Because then they went from running, you know, they ran from me. It's kind of weird. It's like, I wasn't the law. But I did come with some authority. Amen? But when I came, finally he said, "Yeah." Well, he came to the church, and that night I said, "Yeah, I'm preaching." And I wasn't a full-time pastor, but I'm preaching. And he said, "I'll be there." And he brought his daughter. It was just him and her. And he walked in, and I met him in the back, and I thought, you know, he don't have any protocol. He don't know what to do in church, thank God. But he didn't know. And we're talking, and they started playing like tonight. They started playing the music, and I thought, man, I better get up there to my preacher's spot. Never mind. Well, I started walking to the front, and he just, "Come with me." I got all the way about where Melissa was and sat down. He sat down right beside me. And I went, "Oh, God, he's going to get the full thing tonight. He's getting the full dose." And he about two songs in, he leans over, and he said, "I didn't know where else to go. I just followed you." I just tapped him on the leg and said, "You'll be all right. You're not going to be all right." Needless to say, at the end of that service, he was in the altar, him, his daughter, and me, we're all praying. Amen? But I just want to tell you, sometimes we can get in our mind that how we think it should be, and we shouldn't think that way at all. We should just come in the house of God and give them accessibility to Christ, because Jesus gave people accessibility. Amen. He was accessible to all kinds of people. Hypocrites, drunks, tax collectors, righteous people, unrighteous people, prostitutes, people that were caught in the very act of adultery, people that had leprosy, children. Hallelujah. Praise God. People were bringing their children and setting them in his lap. And the first thing some apostle didn't list his name said, y'all need to back up. And Jesus said, no, this is a great teaching lesson. This is a lot like it should be. Come to me as a child. Amen? This is the way everybody needs to come to me. We kind of mix that up and we think children are the only one to come. It says, come to me as a child. Why? Because children, they'll rip something good out of your hand. Amen? You right? Like if you broke out a $5 bill amongst kids, the first one to get this, they will rip your arm off. You better produce another $5 bill or something, right? But if I did that in this room full of adults, I might get one desperate person that needs $5. And at the point that you're desperate, you would still be kind of embarrassed and be like, well, I don't want to look like the only one getting up, getting that five when I really do need it. I could really use a hamburger. Amen? But you won't get up and do it because you... And some of you sitting here right now, and I know some of you, I don't know if you're sassy or whatever else you want to call it. You're saying, I'd go get it. Yeah, but you'd at least look at somebody first. You'd at least look over and go, I'm about to go do this. Right? But let me tell you this, a kid don't even do that. A kid, you start pulling the five out, said the first one to get, they would be into your shin bones, into your knees, and one of them would be climbing you. And next thing you know, you might even have a corner to a $5 bill. Right? So come to Him as a child. That means when God's dealing with you, stop looking around, stop messing around, and come to Him as a child. Because when you get older, you tend to do that. Well, I'm too old, or I don't want to be an embarrassment and all that stuff. Praise God, most of the time we're already an embarrassment. We're preaching, you just don't know it yet. We just had to get past all the rough stuff. There's accessibility. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. He establishes that there is no righteous person whatsoever. I want you to understand this in ministry and leadership. There is not going to be one person who ever comes into this church ever, I'll say it again, ever, that's always been saved. Amen? We're going to minister to people. I've run into it all across. I've always loved God. No, it doesn't matter. You've not always been saved. You've not always been righteous. You've not always been holy. That takes a place when you come to a place of repentance and accept what Jesus did at Calvary. This is doctrine. I understand. And I understand this is Wednesday night. And some of you say, well, I've known that since I was little. But guess what? I don't want an ignorant church. I want a church who knows what we know. I don't want us to go around blind, trying to lead the blind. Listen, the only way you get saved is you accept what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, believe that He's an only begotten Son of God, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and let Him lead the rest of your life. That's salvation. Amen? There's no way. I've always been a good kid. Well, I don't care if you've been a great kid. You're still guilty. Because listen, Jesus says it to this man. He's establishing, listen, He's establishing authority. Why do you call me good? There's none good save God. You understand what he's saying? He said, you're not good. This man thought in his heart, I'm good. Have you ever compared yourself to other people and thought you was pretty good? I did when I was lost. Somebody would say you needed Jesus. First thing I would pop up, I ain't never killed nobody. Right? I ain't a bank robber. I'm better than most. I'm probably better than most people at the house of God. True. The people to ask, we're not good people. We're just saved by a good God. We're saved by grace. That's unmerited favor. If God would judge us on our righteousness, we'd bust hell wide open. Whew. Some of you don't like that. I don't care if you like it or not. That's just true. We won't stand there with 1 ounce of righteousness on us. It'll be what Jesus did and Jesus did alone. I'm going to stand there and plead the blood of Christ. Matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to plead the blood of Christ. I'm going to let the blood of Christ plead for me. Because if it don't cry out, he don't know you. There was a type and shadow of this when Cain slew Abel. He came and he said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "Where am I, my brother's keeper?" He said, "The blood cries out." God's cool, ain't he? You know, like a dog can hear a dog whistle, God can hear blood. There was some blood crying out saying, "I was innocent and he slew me." But there's some other blood. It's called the blood of Christ. And when it's applied to your life, it says righteousness and holiness, and it says forgiven. Man, one day we're going to stand before God and we won't give an account for our lives. The blood will. Thank God. Thank God. That's good, ain't it? I don't know if you like that kind of preaching or not. It's just true. I mean, I know some of you think you're pretty special, but Prescott, stand alone, you're nothing. Me neither. Whew. He established his authority. Verse 19, he establishes his what it would take. He gave him the old law. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery." That means don't sleep with anybody that's not your husband or your wife. I'm going to do some bonus preaching right here if you don't mind. Okay, I will. "Thou knowest, do not commit adultery." That means don't sleep with anybody that's not your wife or your husband. Amen? That's good. "Do not kill." That means you can't kill anybody. Amen? And that means you can't kill anybody in thoughts either. You can't be sitting there just wailing on somebody, "I wish you'd die, I wish you'd die, I wish you'd die." You're guilty by the Spirit of God. "Do not steal." Man, is there any other words in there, "do not steal"? Do not steal. It's pretty black and white, ain't it? You can't steal. If you are, stop. You ever done that? Somebody give you too much change back? "God, Lord, you bless me. You knew I needed an extra 20. No, that's a test. Amen? You walk right back up there and say, "Hey, here's an extra 20. It ain't mine, it's yours." Because somebody's going to count that drawer out. Amen? Y'all didn't like it. Should we have left that alone? Should we leave verse 19 alone? Amen? "Do not bear false witness." That means don't lie. Don't lie. You know what? When you're lying, you sound like the devil. And if you ever get caught in a lie as a Christian, you know what a lot of people never do? They'll never trust you again. I don't care what you tell them. If you tell something that's not true, I'm just making it black and white for you. If you tell something that's not true, that person might not ever trust you again. So when you go to tell them something else, they'll look at you and say, "Wait a minute, now you lied to me." Amen. And that ain't fair. Amen, that ain't fair. It just ain't right. That's a commandment. All right, you got it? Oh, it gets better. "Honor thy father and thy mother." Wait a minute. Does that go for everything? It goes for everything. Well, what if I'm out of my parents' house? Are they still living? Honor them. What if they was no good? I don't think it says that, does it? Honor the good ones? Amen. Nope. You know what it means? Honor their position. Honor their position. Honor the authority God gave them in your life. If you didn't have a great father or a great mother, do some stuff like this. This will help you. This will set you free. At least I made it out alive. Amen? At least I made it. I'm alive. I got health. I got my body. I got my food. I made it. If you got some real good mothers and fathers, praise them. Praise them. Amen? Praise them. was talking about this earlier today. There was a revival that started, a great revival. It started from like a little 7 or 8 year old boy who had went to revival, and somebody preached on this, and he came to the altar and he was broken. Flat broken. And they said, "What's wrong, son?" He said, "I am a dishonorable child. I won't clean my room, and I get mad at my parents when they tell me to do stuff. I get angry with them." And he goes, "And God does not like that, and I'm a sinner." You know what somebody beside him said? "Son, that's not real bad." You know what the pastor said? "Turn it over to God." Because that's what we do a lot of times. We will minimize a sin when God's bringing a person to conviction. Listen, there's nobody... God, I'm preaching now because I can hear the dead silence and I like it. Nobody convicts you of sin but God. The devil will never have you repent of sin. He will never have you come to God and cry out over your sin. He will never do that, ever. So if God is dealing with your heart about sin, stop messing around and come and cry out to Him. Don't go, "Well, that's probably just the devil trying to get me." Listen, the devil, he wants you to get deeper into sin where you will kill yourself or kill somebody else and do everybody else harm. He will never say, "Cry out," ever. That's a good leadership point. That was just bonus preaching. It didn't cost you anything. Verse 20, "And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth." It's a good answer, right? God, we just leave this guy alone. He is untouchable. He's better than us. I don't know if he's better than you. He's better than me. Because I broke all those commandments. The list that he's got on there, I broke them all. A lot. "You so righteous. I love you. I just love how y'all just look at me and think I'm crazy. I wish we'd run a projector of your life right up here. About 2 minutes in, people just, Kyle cut that off. I've kept these since my youth. He's pretty righteous right here, right? And there's going to be people like this. They're going to say, I'm good. Listen what Jesus did. Now here's where he's being a friend. There's accessibility, but listen, there's not always acceptance. Here's where the leadership kicks in. You need to hear this, leaders. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." Underline that, highlight that, take a highlighter of that word. Understand the word "loved him." This is not sugar, cotton candy love. This is not unicorn love. This is not fluffy love. This is love. This is when you look at somebody who's messed up and you tell them the absolute truth, not because you're mad at them, not because you want to hurt them, not because you don't want them to be in church, not because you don't want them to be in your ministry, not them because you want them to be in your Sunday school class. This is because you love them enough to tell them the truth, and it can hurt them so bad. Jesus looked at him, beheld him, and loved him. You good? Loved him. Listen to what he did when he loved him. "And he said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me." How many things was this guy lacking? One thing. You know what he did? He loved money. He loved his possessions more than he loved God. Amen? That one thing. He had one thing that was above God. Now listen, one thing's enough to what? Keep you out of heaven. But let me tell you this, I don't know about you, but I don't have one thing. I have five so far. Amen? And can I be honest, while we're sitting here just digging around in the dirt, I've had some stuff that I love more than God too. Sorry, I'm just telling the truth. I've had some stuff in my life that I love more than God before I got saved. So I'm 6 for 6. I can't even look at this guy bad. I can't even look at him bad. If I sit there and went, "Man, you're jacked up because you love your money and your possessions more than God," he would say, "Yeah, but at least I didn't do all them other ones." Yeah, but we're still on the same plane. We're still on the same plane. And Jesus loves him enough to point out the one thing as much as he does the other, because guess what? Jesus knows him. Amen? Did you hear what he said? Take all that you have and start putting a deposit into glory. You know what Jesus says right there? There are two kinds of accounts that you can have. One down here and one up there. And if the one down here is full and the one up there is empty, you are bankrupt. And you don't want to be bankrupt in heaven and have everything on earth. That was hard for him to hear. Then he said something else. Take up your cross. Not everybody else is your cross. The thing that's going to destroy your flesh, that's going to diminish you, that's going to make you look weak and in out of control. And guess what? People are going to look at you and say, you're dying. Oh, y'all don't like that? Y'all don't think I'm telling the truth right there? Take up your cross. Okay, let me say it this way. Take up your electric chair. Take up your gas chamber. Take up your death sentence. When you really turn your life over to Christ, you die to who you used to be. If he would have gave everything away, if he had took all of his riches and all the things that he would have had and gave them to the poor, everybody that had knew him the day prior would have said, you are losing your whole life. You don't have nothing, but he would have had everything. See, Christianity is so radical. When you're doing it, people think you're dying, but you're actually living. And then it's opposite. If you look like you're living, you're really dying. Are you good? So there was accessibility, but there's not always acceptance, because Jesus didn't point out all the good that he was doing. He pointed out the one thing that he needed to do. And if he wasn't willing to do that, then he wasn't willing to accept Christ. And Christ wasn't willing to accept him. We don't like to hear that in 2017. We like numbers. I like numbers. But do we like numbers over that we like ministry and the Spirit of God and God being pleased with us as a ministry and a church and leaders? Okay, y'all good? Because watch. Verse 22, and he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He went away. Oh, we can't let anybody walk away. What are we going to do right there? Do we need to change everything that we believe where they can stay? What if we change everything we believe where that one person will stay? What do you think that's going to be like when that guy's walking around with all the other disciples? When he's walking around with all the apostles and all the other women and all the other people who said, I gave it all up and walked with Christ. I gave up my fishing. He said, I ain't giving up nothing. Get that. I got me a little reserve. I'm going to just do it the way I want to do it. And you know, that's God's just going to have to get over it. That money's important. That's always been in my family. Don't he know whom I am? How would that go over for about 4 or 5 days, then walking around? Everybody in that circle, everybody in Christ's circle, would all of a sudden start looking at him and saying, you know what? He's the way we need to go. Because that's good. We can still keep all of our junk and still have a little bit of Jesus too. Am I teaching? Is this helping anybody? I'm just being real with you. I hope you like Wednesday Night Real, because that's all I got. Amen? When I worked at the camp, we had a guy who came into the camp. He was a heroin addict, and he was probably going to die. He told me the first day he got there, I'm dying, man. I need help. You know what we do? We help people that are dying, especially in addiction. That's what we did. You know what I'm saying? I did an interview and I said, you really want to be here? I really want to be here. First time we went to Walmart, guess what he did? He got a number from a girl and he gave his number to a girl down at Walmart. It's against our rules. I said, don't do that, man. That's against the rules. Man, I don't like your rules. Yeah, I understand, but when you came here, you were dying and you were broke and you're desperate and you wanted to change. Yeah, I know, man, but that's a stupid rule. We can't even talk. We can't even associate with people out in town. Yeah, see, but the problem is you're an addict. And you don't need to get involved in a relationship right now, because if you get involved in a relationship, it's going to destroy your sobriety, and it's probably going to destroy her life too. Ah! Are you okay? And guess what? There's about 20 or 30 other guys in here that are working on a sobriety, and if they start doing the same thing you're doing, we could lose everybody in here, and you're not more important than everybody. Guess what? The next week you did the same thing. And then we were forbade him to go to the Walmart the next week. Man, that's a bummer, getting kicked out of Walmart, you know? I've been trying to do that. I've been trying to disqualify myself from Walmart for many, many years, and I can't get that done at all. But anyway, that's wrong. But anyway, so then, you know, every time I talked to him, he became a cancer and became a cancer and became a cancer. And then I walked in the room, and one day I seen all the guys, guess what, 25 guys looking at him and listening to him. And you know what, I walked in the classroom one time, I said, man, set your feet down, please, and open up your book. He said, I won't. I said, oh, man, that's terrible, because right now what you're going to do is you're going to stand up, you're going to go up in your room, you're going to pack your stuff, and we're going to take you to the bus station, and let's make that happen like right now. Upset, mad, cursing, threatening, all the way to the bus station, got out, cursed me, cussing everybody, threatened everybody, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to whoop you, I'm going to burn your house down. Okay, great, great, great. Why'd you do that? Got 25 other guys that are working on their addiction, and he was killing them. Amen? And guess what? Hey, I don't. You said, what happened to that guy? I have no idea. But you know what I do know? 17 out of that 25 are now still sober 3.5 years later. 17 out of those 25. And when that guy left, you know what they told me? I don't like his place. I can't believe y'all kicked him out of here. We really liked him. He was a cool guy. You know, at the end of it, they said that was the best thing that ever happened at this point in our thing, because you know what? We had to have consequences into our life. You hear me? Are you listening? Leadership, hey, listen. There's accessibility. There's not always acceptance. If you won't accept what Christ is teaching you, you won't accept the Word, guess what? There's not always acceptance. Guess what? There is no appeasement. No appeasement. No appeasement. That means we don't flip and change and turn and make excuses and don't say and just crawl back. We don't appease. Jesus didn't. He's a leader. Amen? I'm teaching, aren't I? Still teaching? I thought I was. It's hard to swallow, right? Because we just want people, we just want numbers. We're worried about hurting people. We want a big church, we want big numbers, we want big. No, here's what we want. We want to be righteous and right before God, and we'll be righteous and right before people, a big group or a small group. We're going to get the people that God wants, period. But we better be solid in how we learn, how we teach, and how we are as leaders. Amen. This is a leadership class. This is a leadership Wednesday night. You want to be a leader? Give everybody accessibility. Amen? Give everybody a chance of acceptance. But if they won't accept you and they won't accept God, then guess what? You can't be an appeasement. Amen? Sometimes you got to say, I'm sorry, but here's where we're going to diverge paths. You know what? Let's go ahead and can we finish up here? Watch this. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Man, that rich guy just walked away, didn't he? Was this hard? Was it hard? Yes. Who do you think that man, if he goes into eternity lost, what do you think he would say about Jesus? What do you think, some of you need to write this down, some of you need to get it right in your head and square it up. What do you think he would say about Jesus? He gave me an absolute option to get into heaven. He told me exactly what to do to be successful and to get into heaven, and I rejected it. You hear me? But what if Jesus would have said, you're all right just the way you are? And he went off into eternity. And he went off into eternity. What would he say then? That man knew exactly where I was at in my condition, and he let me go off into eternity thinking everything was all right, but I was not. Amen? I've had a real hard week for the last couple of weeks. I'm still in my mind. I'm still trying to work some things out in my mind. Some of y'all know, my dad's got a real bad diagnosis. I mean, it just came all of a sudden. He's got a real bad diagnosis. But you know what one thing stood out in my mind? He sat with one doctor. He had 14 different appointments. 14 different appointments. And on the 14th one, he sat down across from the doctor. The doctor looked at some stuff and looked at him and told him exactly what it was. No flinching, no hee-hawing, no nothing. You know why? Because this is what it was, and this is what you have to do, and this is what you need to do this now. This is what you have. And that's a doctor working on a temporary situation. We're Christians. We're believers in Jesus Christ. And we're working on eternal stuff. And we're just not telling the truth to some people. We're just not telling the truth to some people. We're just sitting, letting there walk around us, talk around us, sit around us, and we're like, man, at least they're not mad at us. Amen. I don't care if people get mad at us as long as we tell them the truth. Because I hate to go here with you, but this is the only place I can go with you. When we go out into eternity, I don't know how God's going to do that. I know it's two different judgment seats, but wouldn't it be awful if somebody you went to church with for years and years and years, lived next door to, ministered to in your Sunday school, listened to in your youth group, pastored a church, sang to them, wouldn't it be awful and them say, you never told me what to do. That's why I did this on Wednesday night. That's the way the Lord allowed me to. There's a lot of leaders in this church. I'm ultimately responsible for this church. Heavy weight. And I get it. Blood's going to be on my head and my hands. I get it. But then if you're a leader, it's going to be on you too. Amen? This is 2017. We can either stand up and have God stand up with us, or we can fold like a little bitty old pup tent and just have a big old church and everybody be excited and never have any tough stuff going on. I'd rather not. I'd rather please God than people. Let's all stand. Maybe you're in a leadership position here, and going forward, you want God to give you wisdom, discernment, and the ability to do the right thing for Him and what would be pleasing to Him and not what's really easy for us. So if you're a leader in this church and this message has helped you, directed you, convicted you, Lord, I hope changes you, come and seek the Lord, please.